720 WGN, Mark Carman with you tonight. Great to be here and great to bring in the former Chicago Bear, now retired, 32 years young, Martellus Bennett with us on 720 WGN. Marty, you're doing a ton of stuff. You're writing books and you're also trying to help guys transition from the playing field to the next part of their life. And even for those of us who don't play professional football, we tend to have to go through transitions in our career, so it really does apply to everyone. What's your coaching to someone who's put so much into one thing, and then all of a sudden, you know what, this is not going to work out, and you got to make a left turn? That is not easy.
Well, exactly. That's exactly it. I think the one thing I try to get people to realize is that as an athlete, your career is always almost over. It's almost always over. Like, it's always, like, it's almost over. It's almost over. Like, it's, at any time, it could be over. So, therefore, you have to be prepared. Right, and a lot of these guys, they prepare for games way better than they prepare for life. Like, they don't prepare for the game of life the way they prepare to play on Sundays or Saturdays, whatever sport they're playing. So my whole thing is about, hey, try to plant seeds now and start watering them. You don't have to just dump a whole bucket of water on them, because that's not how plants grow, because then you drown the seed. But it's important to plant as many seeds as possible so that you can grow in as many different ways as that's feasible for you as an individual. So I think most guys don't spend time planting seeds. They still focus on the one seed that is growing so tall that, like any plant, when one plant outgrows another seed, it blocks the sunlight, so these other plants can't actually grow. And I learned that when guys leave the sport, there's a form of PTSD, and there's an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they like. They don't know what they want to do. They don't know what they're interested in. They don't know any of these things, but they have time now to discover those things. So instead of spending all your offseason just working out, playing video games, pick up an internship, pick up a book. Like, you give a guy a book and they act like you just did an exorcism on them. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, nah, dude, you should be reading. So if you think about, like, college, most of these guys have been pushed along and been celebrated for being an athlete, so you want to continue to do what you've been celebrated for. But, like, we're not – they're athletes first, students second for a lot of them, right? So – they didn't really take school serious when they were playing, so how can they take self-education and further bettering themselves in whatever field it may be that's outside of the sport when they never done it in a previous life? So I'd let them know that their life is just beginning. We, the few people, what we maximize, a lot of us maximize the potential of wealth in our early 20s, right? You retire 26, 27, 30, guys are retired even earlier now. But that's the average career is 3.5 years. So average lifespan is 77 years.
Martellus Bennett with us here on 720 WGN, the former Bears tight end. You just touched on something, Marty, that's very interesting. And there's a ton of talk this week about changing how athletes in college will get paid. They'll be able to benefit off their likeness. But there's not a lot of talk about how colleges push through young, talented athletes so they will get the maximum performance on the field and not care at all about what they do in the classroom. I mean, when you went to Texas A&M, were you pushed at all to actually get an education, or was it all about what you did on the field?
No athletes push to get their education. That's a lie. All they do is try to push the athlete to courses that allows them to pass classes so they can maximize their potential on the court. They're not trying to maximize the student. They're trying to maximize their time with the athlete. They recommend courses that don't take you from your, like, there's not too many people who could use that free scholarship to become a doctor, because being a doctor requires them to be in class so much that the football obligations won't allow them to do so. So when you think about this education, it's not every single avenue is not really open for every single player, right? So
don't you think that's criminal or at least wrong?
I think, we want to talk about ethics, but I really think that comes down to the human being. But then, you know, as a player, but most of these guys are young. They're shaping men, or these women, young women, they're shaping that have not fully developed and don't. All they really know is that their dream is to play this sport, but they don't really realize that only 1% of college athletes make it to the pros. You have a higher possibility of becoming a doctor than you do becoming an NFL player. But nobody wants to tell them that because they feel like dream killers. And when does killing dreams become being like, I don't know, you know, I'm a dreamer, so.
Martellus, I covered you in Chicago, and you had some great years with the Bears, and you won a Super Bowl with the New England Patriots, and you cut a ton of balls, the Cowboys, the Giants, etc. And you were a productive player, no question. But whenever I was around you, just from my judgment, I never thought you really loved the game, playing football. Is that fair?
No, I love playing football. I like the game, like actually playing, but I didn't really like everything that came along with football. Like, I didn't really care for a bunch of stuff that came along with the game that had nothing to do with playing football. And that's the stuff I hated. Like, playing the game is fun. Stiff arming people, jumping over people, scoring touchdowns, flipping in the end zone, dancing with your teammates. All that stuff is fun. And beating yourself up is not fun, but the game was fun to play. But once it was no longer fun because of everything else that came with the game, that's when I decided to leave it.
I never viewed
myself as a football player.
When you say everything else, are we talking about practice? Are we talking about media? Where are we at?
I mean, I didn't mind practice, the part where we actually practice against one another. But then I'm just talking about, like, coaches and them trying to act like they're your dad and all that stuff. You know, it's just kind of like, I'm a grown man. Or I got kids at home, you know, like, you know, like, what's going on here, coach, really, you know what I'm saying? So, but I never, for me, football would never be able to fulfill me like it does some people, right? It was never going to be the most fulfilling thing that I did in my life, and I always understood that. But I wanted to enjoy the moment while I had it.
Which coach was trying to be most authoritative dad-like? Was that Belichick?
I don't think that Belichick tried to be anybody, daddy. I think he's the one that avoided all of that. I mean, I don't really know. I mean, I played for so many teams, so many coaches. There's a lot of them. So, but at this point, it don't really matter. Who cares?
Where was your favorite stop then? Where did you enjoy yourself the most?
I enjoyed a lot of places for different reasons. I enjoyed the structure in the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. One of my favorite teams to ever play for, though, was the Giants. They had the best. I mean, it was just a really good organization, like a great place to play as a player. Chicago was fun. Like, I had my best career years in Chicago, so that was fun. So all of them, as I look back at it, when I was in it, a lot of times I just, you know, you can hate somewhere, but when you look back at it, like, man, you know, those were some really good times there.
Well, speaking of Chicago, if you saw Jay Cutler across the street, are you crossing over to shake his hand, or are you going to put your head down and keep walking?
No, hell no, I call Jay. I like Jay. Jay's funny. I mean, I think Jay's, I would definitely go talk to Jay. He's my partner, and he's one of the professors. He's one of the other professors.
Is that right?
His business, yeah. Jay Cutler is one of the other professors.
Okay.
We're both teaching now. Imagine that. You get a class with Martellus Bennett or Jay Cutler.
Yeah, no, I'm picking Martellus all day on that.
He's highly intelligent, though. He's a really intelligent guy.
Well, maybe I'm a little biased, but I'm going 83 over 6, especially if I'm going to class. But neither here nor there, not trying to dog Jay. Hey, Martellus, could you play physically right now? I mean, you're 32. There's a lot of guys in the NFL who are your age that are, you know, still doing it.
Yeah, I'm in great shape. I feel good. You know, I'd be doing a CEO workout, so which is just wake up like at 4:30 in the morning, get on a vertical climber for like 30 minutes, do some push-ups and sit-ups, and call it a day. Put some laps with my jewelry on, you know, that kind of thing.
But if somebody called you up, would you be interested?
No. People call. I'm just not interested in playing football.
Interesting.
But the reward would be for me to do that. Just my life right now is so much more rewarding than football could ever be. And I kind of feel like I've been missed what I thought was a rewarding life. Really wasn't, and the work I do creatively now is the most rewarding and fulfilling thing I could possibly ever do, and it makes me so happy.
Well, it sounds like you did it right. 32 years old, you had some fun, you made some money, got a couple dollars in the pocket, and you found exactly what you want to do right now with your life. That's a win all around, as far as I can tell.
I am. I played the game correctly.
Tell us what the new book is again.
My next book is called Little Brown Girl, Dreamcatcher. My previous book is called Dear Black Boy, which is doing well. You can get that on Amazon or ImaginationAgency.com right now. Check that out. Make sure you support. And my next book that's coming out. And then my Revenge of the Jocks book for transitioning athletes. It's the escape plan for athletes.
What's in the Brown Girl book? What are you trying to get accomplished?
The idea that they can catch any dream that they have is possible. Like anything that they dream and who they are is as wonderful and who they want to become as possible.
Who's winning the Super Bowl this year?
I mean, honestly, I don't think any team's that great. Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of like, if you watch the games, I think it's still up in the air. I think it's gonna be a surprise team, actually. Honestly,
you want to throw one out there?
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like it's just going to be one of those teams. Like, I did not see this coming. It's going to be one of those movies, like a movie with a great twist. I think it's going to be like that this season.
Okay.
You got your Patriots, who are always a favorite. I mean, they're 8-0, but have they had true competition? You got your 49ers, you know, right now, who are doing very well. Kansas City took a hit, losing the quarterback. Seattle is really good, you know, but who's going to come out of that? Seattle and 49ers, that's going to be really cool. I mean, I just feel the Vikings. Like, there's, like, teams that, like, the Packers, you know, the NFC. The NFC is usually the stronger division. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity there.
How in the world did you guys come back from 28-3 down in the Super Bowl to beat Atlanta?
Honestly, I think the most important thing is we didn't really – we just did our job. I know it sounds crazy, but our whole point of view is like, hey, don't worry about it. Don't look at anybody else or what anyone else is doing. If you could do your job for the rest of this game, the best of your ability, we could come out victorious. And that's what we did. Like, half the time I did – if I wasn't running a route, I didn't even know who caught the ball. I was just like, what happened? What happened? Because I was so focused on doing my job. When most games you play, you kind of looking down the field, seeing what's happening. But I was so focused on my task at hand that I didn't even know half of the plays that happened. Because all I remember, like, oh, I was blocked on this play and or ran my route as hard as I could, you know, and that was pretty much it. Like, I just remember me. You know, I don't remember everything else that everyone else was doing during the game. I could just remember exactly what was happening to me. That's how locked in I was.
That's awesome. Who was?
I don't think everybody was like that.
Who was leading the way more that day? Is that a Brady thing? Is that a Belichick thing? How did that happen?
The most interesting thing is, like, when we got to the locker room, no one said anything. There was no rah-rah speeches. Belichick didn't say anything. The only thing I remember was that Julie Edelman, before we went back out after the after halftime, Julie Edelman was like, well, boys, we got 30 minutes to make history. And we went out and made history.
It's incredible. Martellus, great work today. Dos Equis, the professor, all of it. Great to talk to you. And look forward to catching up down the line and seeing everything you're doing, what you're putting out into the world. You're doing great work, man. It's always good to catch up.
Thank you, man. My new album's coming out soon, too. It's called Martellus, The Corporate Experience.
I mean,
The Corporate Experience is my band.
I just want to, you know, I don't know, go on like a 5-day, just let me hang out in the same area as you. Just watch everything you do. You got so
you
much.
Should. You should come by one day.
Where are you living now?
I'm in Hollywood.
Of course you are. Why wouldn't you be?
I mean, I moved to Hollywood, but I didn't go Hollywood.
You didn't have to go Hollywood. You've always been Hollywood in some way. Let's be honest.
Oh, man. Great, man. Great talking to you.